Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Raw Talk Radio with your host, Osman Shabazz.
Everybody to Raw Talk Radio. This is Osman Shabazz bringing you our 14th episode. Tonight I have a special guest and a real dear friend of the show, Rahman Muhammad, and we're going to be discussing the mayoral election that's coming up soon this Tuesday. And we're just going to basically go over the election, some of the things that have been said, kind of take the pulse of where the election stands and kind of address some of the things that the opposition has been saying, and also to come with a realistic assessment of where this election stands. So right now I'm going to bring on my special guest, Deputy Mayor Rahman Muhammad. How's it going, Rahman?
What's up, my brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hey, brother, we got, after the day, 5 more days of victory. So, you know, I'm doing well, brother. I think that the city is going to prove us right and reelect Mayor Baraka for the great job that he's done. And, you know, this campaign will be over, and hopefully we can patch up some of these strained friendships that has been strained for a few months because of this election. Because, you know, I got some friends on the other side that, unfortunately, you know, I just don't understand some of the actions and comments that's being made. So I'm hoping that, you know, after this is over, man, I might do a special unity party again. I'm thinking about doing another unity party just to kind of bring people back together, man, and see. But it's going to be hard, though, because there's been some crazy stuff said, brother. I think his worst things were said this year than it was when Shavar ran. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I feel the same way. This election in particular is different. To me, it's not even competitive, but it's dirtier, you know. And I think the fact that Gayle Cheney Phil mismanaged her campaign, and to be quite honest with you, brother, this has to be the worst mayoral campaign ran by her in Newark history. So I think as a I'm very serious too. It's a disaster. It's a train wreck. And I think because of that, they have gotten desperate, and they go to the bottom. They bottom feeders with their rhetoric and with their campaign tactics. Bringing up rape, bringing up abuse of women, bringing up, you know, all kinds of stuff that's just not true. And if it is true, nobody's been able to prove it. And that, without a shred of evidence, just throw it out there and just hope it stick. And so I think that's why, because the campaign is so flawed itself, the way it's been run. And then, you know, the only thing they can do, they don't have no ideals to offer. They can't rebuttal the progress that the mayor has been making. They don't have nothing to really run on. So, therefore, what they have to do is try to inject into the public mind that Mayor Baraka's administration is full of sexual predators and things of that nature, or abusive of women, when nobody's even filed a sexual harassment suit that worked for the mayor. So it's just a campaign of lies. And I don't know how they look themselves in the mirror with the kind of filthy, dirty campaign they've run, Rahman.
Yeah, brother, I got to be honest with you, and I would hate to think that she is supportive of that, but I'm almost certain she is because it's coming from her camp. And so, you know, especially with this fake news site, I mean, what I saw today, especially had my picture on it, had your picture on it, you know what I'm saying, the mayor's picture on it, you know, a few other folks' pictures on it, detailing that, you know, the mayor, that we are sexual, the article, when I read it, actually said that we are sexual, that the mayor hired sexual predators, that we are sexual predators. I'm like, this is y'all serious? Like, I mean, this is not a joke. I'm a married man. You know what I'm saying? Like, my daughter, I got daughters that watch my page. They watch my feed. They watch the stuff that goes back and forth. And you really got a picture of their father up there calling him a sexual predator. I've never been known to be a sexual predator. No one has ever filed no charges against me for sexual harassment. As a matter of fact, let's be very clear. There's not a female in the city of Newark that can say I slept with them. Not one.
Right.
Not one. You know what I'm saying? Not one. I dare any one of them, any female that come out and say, rather, they work for the Board of Education, Newark Housing Authority, or the city of Newark, and say Rahman Muhammad has slept with them. Not one of them
right.
can say that. You know what I'm saying? Because right. I just don't do that. That's never been me. It's never been my operation. I've never been, you know, about sexual harassing women. I've never been that desperate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That, you know, one of the things that I've learned when I was in the union, one of the things that my mentor taught me, dude, you cannot, you know, you can't sleep, you can't where you eat. You know what they say? I don't want to cuss.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And, you know, I've always taken that to heart. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
that's not something I do. And because it does cause problems. And be clear, I don't even support that type stuff. I would never support. Like you said, there's no charges against none of the individuals they got on the paper. There's no charges filed. Let's be very clear. Against none of the people that they put on that flyer, but this is what they, you know, this is the bottom feeding frenzy and desperation that this campaign has come to. It's no different than the war situation. You know what I'm saying? You know, where we trying to make you believe that there is lead in their waters. And the mayor clearly said to them, there are homes, that old homes that have lead pipes. If you do have it, contact us so you can get on list so we can abate that situation. But what they telling people is don't drink none of the water. We got a beer company, Anheuser-Busch, that makes beer from North
right.
Water. Do you think that they do it because of the quality, by the way? So
right.
clear. The reason why they make beer at Anheuser-Busch and they use North's water is because of the quality of North's water. That's the reason why they do it. So, you know what I'm saying? When you hear this nonsense out there, you know, that these scare tactics, it's like, you know, why can't we just talk about issues? You know, if they had a campaign that said, yes, the mayor lowered unemployment, but I would have lowered it by 10% instead of 3%. Then you know what, if you want to have that debate, we can have that debate. At least it's something of substance. But that's not what's being said. You know, what they're saying
right.
is everything the mayor said he accomplished is a lie. Folks, this is just malarkey. If unemployment
right.
was at 10.9%, I looked at something. Gail sent out something today in the mail because, you know, I signed, you know, I'm a guy. You know, I follow my enemies, so I get their emails when they send them out. They said that something. They said North unemployment is at 12%. The mayor's lying. There's nothing they can produce. Nothing they can produce from any government that tracks unemployment that can justify what they just said. But they just put that out there, huh?
Right.
Not true. And listen, let's be very clear. Unemployment in this city, as far as we're concerned, is high. We want to bring it down even further. But to sit
right.
up here and just lie to people, you know what I'm saying, with no proof at all, I mean, it's just, to me, it's, you know, what are we doing? What type of campaign is this in? You know, say you could do a better job, but don't say
right.
that he has not done any job.
Right.
And that's what's being said, bro. That's what's being said.
Right. The thing is, black unemployment has always been twice that of whites. So I think the nationwide unemployment figure is like 5%, and I think Newark's is 8%. So we've even beat that statistic of it being double, which would have been 10% as opposed to 8%. So, you know, what they hope to do is throw out that nonsense, this garbage, these lies, and hope that low-information folks take a hold of it and grab it and run with it. People that don't like to do their own research, people that don't really pay attention to what's going on in the city, people that don't take out the time to see the real state statistics and the national statistics to show that what you're reporting and the mayor's reporting is correct. That's who they're hoping to appeal to. And I'm going to say one thing about this, and I'm not going to say any more. That whole New Jersey World News site, that's just
total garbage. Yeah.
Somebody that's credible in the opposition told me that it was, this is allegedly, that allegedly is Shahid Watson, and that he's getting some money now from that camp. And if you notice, his activity has increased. So, you know, it's childish, it's garbage, it's the worst. And I tell you, I look at it as a total joke. And whatever they say doesn't even bother me, to be quite honest with you, because it's nonsense and it's fake news and it's garbage. You know, it's bullshit. And even the way they write it is chicken scratch. And like Al Tariq Kenny said, I had said that it looks like a fifth grader wrote this. And Al Tariq said, don't insult fifth graders.
Right. And I got to be honest with you, brother. I'm disappointed to hear that Shahid would be behind that, man. It's tragic, brother, that we've come to this level of discourse that we can't even be respectful of one another, man. We got enough of accusations out there and wrong accusations amongst brothers out there. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to tag other brothers with, you know what I'm saying, these type of stereotypes and accusations that has historically been placed upon black men, especially in our communities. And so I'm really disappointed, bro, to hear that, man. You know what I'm saying? It's sad, man. It would be sad, bro.
Right.
You know,
but to be quite honest with you, I know Shahid pretty well, and he's the last person, the last person that should be talking about abuse of women, using women, taking advantage of their trust. That brother should shut the fuck up and go in his little corner and just be quiet, man, and live in Georgia and get his con game on up there. You know what I'm saying? But he's a hustler, man, and he's all over here. And I heard he got a little stipend, and I hear he's doing a little something. But that's how he is. But at any rate, what do you think about the debates?
Oh my God, dude! I mean, can we call them debates? Like I said, you know, to me, debates have to be competing visions. There's no competing visions up there, right? There's accusations being hurled and the mayor defending his record and laying out what he's trying to do in his next term. But there's no vision from the other side. And so I don't understand the debates. You know what I'm saying? I don't think she's prepared. I really don't even think she's prepared. Like, everybody keeps saying, oh, well, she's not a good speaker. Yeah, but she could be prepared for a debate. You know, you don't have to be a great speaker, but you can at least prepare yourself for a break, for a debate. You can at least be you can at least have some understanding of the issue that you're talking about. When I'm listening to some of the stuff she's saying, I'm like, wow. You know, just a simple phone call of her calling the department, especially like the youth department, when she makes a statement that. But you hired all your friends and family. Are you serious? Like, first of all, they are drawn through a lottery system. They're the third-party system that's used to choose these kids because we have so many kids that apply from schools, Osmond, throughout the city. So this is what really bothers me about her not even getting the understanding of how the system works. The schools throughout the city, the high schools or elementary schools, that these kids apply from, they all apply. There's a deadline on when they apply, and then their name is drawn from a third party that we're not in control of, that the youth department is not in control of, that the mayor is not in control of. We contract with a third party who draws the name because we may have 5,000 kids and we only have 3,000 jobs. And so, you know what I'm saying, it would be unfair for them, so we draw them out of the lottery. And unfortunately, sometimes we got to tell kids who worked last year that they can't work this year because they didn't get chosen out the lottery, Oz. So, simple phone call to the department just to understand the process could end that. But no, because she's in attack mode, and, you know what I'm saying, she just wanted to, you know what I'm saying, point the finger at the mayor. She doesn't even make a phone call to understand the process. So they just go with this rumor that they all go with, oh, it's the friends and family plan. Come on. Really? The mayor got 3,000 friends and family kids working in summer youth. I mean, this is just malarkey, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, who can sit up here and believe some of the stuff that's being said? Like, I really don't believe it's a debate. I don't see a debate, brother.
Right. Well, it's a tactic. It's a debate tactic. One of the tactics she used was she kept interrupting the mayor. She kept saying things. In other words, she kept, you know, being disrespectful, hoping that the mayor would lose his cool, get down to her level, get ghetto, and then everybody point out, oh, look at Mayor Baraka. He's being so disrespectful to women. That's an example of how he disrespects women. Oh, poor girl. But in the meantime, she's doing everything she can to throw him off his game, interrupting him, being disrespectful. And that's just how it is. But luckily, the mayor is too smart for that. He kept his composure. And, he did good. And he stayed calm. And he didn't get, you know, aggravated, which was what they were trying to do. And you saw the same thing when the debate was at the senior citizens home. You know, Kevin Jenkins acting like an asshole in the back, taking off his jacket, putting it back on. You know, all of that was to distract and to try to create an incident so that the mayor, who has a higher standard of expectations from citizens, would get down to their ghetto level, and then that way they bring him down with them as being just another Negro. You know, but once again, the mayor held his composure. He was professional. He said what he had to say, and he didn't fall for their dirty tricks. So that's what happened, man. That's what happened. They tried everything, and the one thing, I don't know who the hell is prepping Gail, but they're doing a horrible job. The woman does not smile. She does not smile. She just looks angry. She looks miserable. She just, man, it's just ridiculous, man. It just, to me, it's just hard to watch a person that angry and that sullen, you know, in a debate. And I just couldn't vote for somebody like that. She just seems like she's unhappy, man. And for her not to smile at all, you know, it's just a big mistake on whoever's prepping her, and they need to be fired. Well, it's too late anyway. But, you know, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, no, I actually think he took her to school at that last debate, brother. You know what I'm saying? He should have charged up for tuition.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was the teacher, you know what I'm saying, at that last debate. I think that, you know, and being a third debate, I think it was a fourth debate. But I think you know what I'm saying, he got to the point where he just said, listen, let me just go up in here and just lay out my plans, what I've done, and not get caught up into the back and forth. Like you said, what she's trying to do is create this back and forth so she could throw him off subject, because she's not really answering the questions. If people really listen to what she's saying, she's not really answering the questions. You know what I'm saying? And so what she is trying to create this other, she's trying to create this other atmosphere within the debate so that she can throw him off, so that he can buy into going back and forth. And he kind of did buy into that in the second debate when it was that WBGO debate. And so what she thought she was trying, well, she wanted to keep going in that mode because, you know what I'm saying, if you don't have a subject matter, if you're not coherent in your understanding of the issues that you're talking about, you have no plan, then, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, you get exposed when you have someone sitting next to you who's just laying out their vision, what they've done, what they're trying to do in the future and moving the city forward. And you can't disagree with that. And so you got to deal with all this other nonsense, and you got to want to go on this back and forth pettiness with these accusations and all this other malarkey that you know what I'm saying, these folks out here saying. Because, you know, they really, they don't have a vision. There's no compete. Listen, like the man said, you know, Shavar in his debates at least talked about different ideas. Whether you want to agree or disagree, at least it was ideas. You know what I'm saying? You know, whether you supported Shavar's ideas or the mayor's ideas, at least it was it was a, you know what I'm saying, you sat there and you actually listened to what this one said, you listened to what that one said. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what's going on here, because she's really not saying anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She's really not saying, so she's being reactive. You know what I'm saying? And most of, like you said, she's being reactive, really, to be honest with you, from her training. I think there are people within her camp that's actually told her to behave that way, to be honest with you. Because
yeah, I believe that.
Lawsuits. Yeah, they want to talk about lawsuits and sexual harassment and, you know what I'm saying, corruption. That's what they want to talk about. And so what they're trying to do is get her, you know, anytime you get a chance, let's throw this stuff in there. And so she's always on attack mode, or she's trying to think, how do I go on attack mode? You know what I'm saying? Because of this, you know, because that's the way they're teaching her to, you know, saying debate. Call him a liar. Everything he says, say that's not true. Everything he says, say you're lying, man. You didn't do that. You didn't. I mean, it's just craziness. It's craziness. And I'll be honest with you, I would have loved the moderator to just sit there and say, well, here is the statistic. Unemployment was at 10.9 when he came in. It's now at 7.8. Is that lower? Yes or no?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's not get into, you know what I'm saying, no argument. Is it lower? That's a yes or no question. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not, you know, we getting into the weeds a little bit. Some of these questions get into the weeds. And like I said, she's not prepared for that. She ain't preparing herself for that. She's not.
Right.
She didn't do no preparation for these debates. And like I said, he schooled her. He was a professor. I guess because it was a college setting, he showed up was acting like a professor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He should have gave her a tuition bill.
Right.
Because I'm telling you right now, he schooled her. She had nothing to come back on him discussion. And even in the water, discussion, she came in there with the water debate to try to create the scare, and he just laid it out. You know, it's like,
right.
It's, you know, it's silence after that. Like, wow.
Right.
He just explained it away.
Right.
So.
Listen, Rahman, we got a couple of callers, but I'm going to see if I can take one of them. 973-652. This is Osman Shabazz. Do you have a question for Deputy Mayor? 973-652.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes,
Osman.
This is
Osman. Good evening. Rahman. This is
okay.
Patricia Bradford.
How you doing, Patricia?
I am so energized after watching the debates and witnessing the negativity. Anybody who would want a mayor that does nothing but, I mean, how, if she treats a mayor which has the title of honorable in that manner, how will she treat the regular constituents? And in watching the debate, they brought up this subject about a guest being brought over from New York, having the police to escort for safety and to ensure that that person got there in time to do what he was hired to do. However, years ago, I remember there being a lawsuit filed by Mayor James against her and another person on her slate. They had been signing contracts with people for putting on a show and stuff, and he won the case saying that the mayor's the only one that can sign contracts. This is totally against all rules of the things that they have done, yet they were never castigated in this manner. And can you please explain to me the papers and the news and News 12, Channel 2 News, they talked about it being thrown out of court by the judge. And other people are arguing still beyond that. All I heard was they threw that out of court, said don't bring anybody else in that manner for the next year, and it's $200 for some tolls or whatever. Could you please explain to me the outcome of that case that was.
Well, exactly what you said. The judge threw it out, and you know, saying he told them not to escort any celebrities for a year, and he's asked them to give a spreadsheet on what the cost is because the campaign paid $200, so they wanted to break down what the cause was so that he can be clear about the money being paid back, right? But, you know, listen, like you said, to me, like I tell people, it's a non-issue, right? At the end of the day, the mayor, when I hear people complain about the mayor's security detail, every mayor I know has had security detail, every single one of them. You know what I'm saying? And when you are an executive security detail, do a lot of things like that, by the way, for the mayor when it comes down to making sure his guests are getting in there, making sure that, you know what I'm saying, that the place is clear for him to have a parking space when he pull up to events, making sure that if, you know what I'm saying, somebody coming out of town that, you know what I'm saying, they get to the event in a timely manner when they come. I mean, that's been done in every single administration. You're right, Pat. You're absolutely correct. When I hear some of the things that's said now against this mayor that wasn't said and they supported when other mayors existed, it's mind blowing to me because you know, Pat, I was involved. So when I tell people, the reason why I don't bring a lot of that old stuff up because we moving forward. But you're right, Pat. I was involved in the politics in the city for 25 years. I've been involved in the city politics since I was 24 years old. I'll be 50, so that's 26 years that I've been intimately involved with the politics in the city. You know what I'm saying? And so when I see this stuff where they attack him on rather insecurity, rather, you know, stuff when it comes to, like you said, the situation with the DJ, it bothers me because I'm like, I didn't see any of these things happen when we had other mayors that did similar things, that did very similar things. And listen, in hindsight, the mayor probably will say, listen, we should have did that. I mean, it didn't come from him. I'm sure the decision didn't come from him. It had to come from somebody around him that made that decision. But I'm sure in hindsight, that person probably said, you know what, maybe that wasn't a good idea, folks. We got to do it this way the next time. But that's not something to beat him down for. And, you know, like you said, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I correct
But
that
has
nothing to do with the job he's done.
The James administration used to go and rent the best kind of vehicle to come and pick up the guests. I remember one time they brought somebody in here with a Rolls Royce under the James administration. So I'm just saying, hey, at least it was our city car. They didn't come and go that extreme in making sure that they had an exclusive ride here, you know. And so many ways, people don't realize how many things those former council used to do in expending our tax dollars, and they were happy. They used to go around high-fiving that they had successful gospel shows and brought all of these people in. And then when they said that they lost the case and they had to pay back the money, that pay those people, they had been binding with those contracts. What was the outcome of that? Did they ever pay those people because the show was shut down? They didn't allow it to go on.
Okay,
so the people that they signed those contracts, the people they signed those contracts, did they pay them? Because the court ordered that they were liable for having done such a thing because they were never supposed to have those contracts signed by any council person, anybody hiring somebody that was the mayor jurisdiction.
Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Rockman.
Yeah, you know, the deal is, I mean, Pat's right, though, to be honest with you. It's a lot of hypocrisy around this, but I think a lot of it is done for distraction. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, yesterday they had people taking pictures of seniors being bussed in from the rec center to the gospel thing, the show yesterday. But listen, if a senior buys a ticket or a senior is given a ticket so the city didn't pay it. We have a senior support service here that go around to buildings. The rec center, if the senior asks for a ride to the show, we give them a ride. You know what I'm saying? To the show, that's what senior service is for. But a lot of this stuff is done, it's distraction. When you don't have, listen, if we were talking about issues and ideas, Osmond, you would not be hearing this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If this was about competing ideas and issues, you would not be hearing any of this stuff. It is a distraction. It is to take people away from the fact that she has no clear message on how she would move the city forward if she became mayor. That is just the bottom line, right? You didn't hear it during the debate. You didn't hear it during any other conversation that she had. Everything she's doing is attack, attack, attack. Like I said, I get her email. I signed up. Anyway, anybody that I run against, I sign up to their email alerts because I want to know what they're sending out. Everything she sent out in her email alert, Osmond, has been an attack. Every single thing. Nothing has detailed how she would do anything, how she would change anything in the city, how she would make the city better at any point in time, because the truth of the matter, Osmond, that's not what their intention is. This is about contracts and access to contracts and people getting paid. This is just a bunch of nonsense, man. That's why they don't have a vision. That's why they don't have a vision. Because when your heart in it for something else, this nonsense, what you're talking about the mayor ain't taking care of uptown, what are you talking about? This mayor is uptown and downtown. He both towns.
Right.
Stop that nonsense about he ain't uptown. Stop trying to separate the city from uptown and downtown. We got people coming in the city, and we have to embrace them. We can't have a city of just complete poverty. That don't even make sense. How can you have a city that thrives? Gail Chainerfield, this is what bothers me about her. She voted for buildings. She voted in her ward for buildings to be built as high, if I'm not mistaken, 40 stories. On the water. who do she think is coming in those buildings, Osmond? The people
uptown? Let me tell you something,
Rockman. With this campaign.
Nobody understands politics and money like the Chainerfield Jenkins cartel. They have turned, I'm serious, they have turned political enrichment to an art that very few,
not only
in Newark, but throughout the country. Can match, and they are totally in it. In my opinion, just based upon my observations, they are totally in it to line their pockets. Her and Kevin, totally into politics to line their pockets to the point, and the mayor lets her off the hook. I don't know why, but at these dates, she doesn't bring up the fact that she's taking money from slumlords. I will hammer that away until the end, but I guess the mayor is being nice. But anybody who would sell out their own people and take cash from slumlords, knowing in particular the disastrous, sick, filthy exploitation that is going on for Newark residents in the Garden Spires. So they have, like I said, taken political enrichment of themselves to an art that could be studied by other crooked politicians throughout the country. So for them to act like they now care about the people? No, that's why they don't have any ideals. And that's why she would approve a 40-story building as long as she gets a payoff. It's like, now, I'm not saying that's the case in this particular instance, but I know that the pay-to-play scheme is happening with them. And for them, like I said, to protect the slumlords and the Garden Spires, to me, that alone disqualifies her and her husband. You know, it's coming in the same household. They're trying to play a little game like, oh, that's my husband doing it. That ain't me. Nah, y'all are doing it. Y'all are involved, and you are profiting off the misery of black folks living in these damn projects like the Garden Spires, one of the worst ones in Newark. So,
And that's not the only place you got a contract from, by the way, you know what I'm saying, within a situation. Like I tell people, you know, you can tell by, you know, you can ask just one question. Did you have those contracts before she became Central Ward Council person? That's all you have to ask to find out if it's corrupt. Yes, that's corrupt. the appearance of it is corrupt. Like, you know, I keep telling them that, you know, people, my wife was laid off 3 times since I've been working for the city. 3 times, Ozma. One of the times she was laid off, she was asked to create an HR service to assist developers in getting them turning their paperwork into the affirmative action department. And I told her no, Ozma. I told her no, you can't do it. And she was like, why? I ain't got nothing to do. I was like, you can't do it because I oversee the affirmative action department. It will not look it won't look right if my wife, it doesn't have to be illegal. It will not look right. If my wife is dealing with HR stuff for for developers that I oversee, that I have to make sure they follow the guidelines of the agreement they sign, if you're doing the work for them. That wouldn't look
right.
It doesn't matter if it's illegal. It just would not look right. So the appearance of it is corrupt, period. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just plain. And like I said, the guard spies ain't the only contract. Let's be very clear about that. They use this position to get multiple contracts going for himself on the back to Norgas, and then try to act like they for Norgas. No, you're not for Norgas. They for themselves. And you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And they should just be honest about it. They should just be honest about that with folks. But this has nothing to do with those, because if you did, then there will be a vision attached to what you're saying. There's no vision. Pointing the finger and saying a street is dirty, this is an urban community.
Exactly.
You can find a street in the urban community. You can find a band of property in the urban community, any place in the urban community. Any, I don't care what urban community you go to, you can find that. You know what I'm saying? The point ain't you pointing it and taking a picture and posting it on social media. It's what are you doing to abate it? Whose attention is you bringing it to? We're not, you know what I'm saying? All of this complaints and accusations, you know, you are a situational councilwoman. Instead of you.
Yeah, has she brought this up or initiated any kind of effort in the past 4 years to take care of this stuff? No. She's too busy getting paid.
Exactly.
Working with my husband's consultant firm, wink, wink, you know, in line in her pocket. She don't give a shit about what's going on with those abandoned buildings, the streets, as long as she's in whatever the hell it is, Society Hill, and they're getting their $2,000 or $3,000 a month from different people, from slumlords and from other people that want to do business with the city. They don't give a crap about Norcas. We got another call, Rockmine. They may be listening or they may have a question. And before I take this caller, I want to say this Saturday, Alif Muhammad is throwing a free concert in support of Mayor Baraka. The Moments are going to be there playing. Everybody who's old school know the Moments, and it's going to be two other guest acts. So make sure you come down. There's a 3 p.m. show and a 6 p.m. The 3 p.m. is going to be mostly seniors, so I just want to let everybody know that should be a blast this Saturday at Symphony Hall. Hold on 1 second. 862-218. Do you have a call? Do you have a question?
Hello. Guys, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you.
Guys, how you doing? And Brother Rockman, this is Shea Coulter. I appreciate y'all for keeping the show going, man. I had a quick question. I'm a younger parent in the city of Newark, and I've been doing some analysis. It seems that this economic development started at a rapid pace in Sharp's last term, and whoever's been mayor has had to deal with some of that economic activity to some degree. That, you know, I know the mayor tried to do the inclusionary zone and they passed it and they're still working on it, but whoever's mayor is going to have developers coming into Newark building, particularly downtown. The only reason I bring that up is, are we going to see that development go to the pace that we're seeing in Jersey City? Because Newark has residential development, but not so much commercial skyscraper type of a buildings that are going up in Jersey City. Now, that's certainly causing the price to move in Jersey City. My question to you, brothers, is whoever's mayor after May 8th, do y'all honestly as intellectuals think that we will be able to freeze prices in terms of market prices of rent, knowing that Newark is on the spotlight for the Eastern Seaboard? And then the second part of the question is, for as far as the municipal services, the neighborhood services, how should senior citizens and homeowners what should their expectation be after May 8th, whoever's mayor? What should those seniors' expectations be? The reason I put that out there is because as I talk to seniors, they're kind of like divided in terms of the side that they're picking to choose and whatnot. But within those municipal services is the public safety for the children and the neighborhood services and the basic services that any municipality has to provide. And then just the last part, Oz. Now that we're a sanctuary city, how much are you gentlemen expecting whoever's mayor to give away under sanctuary status? Because I'm particularly concerned about that when we're dealing with our school system and we're dealing with giving school spots away. So,
hello?
Okay. Yeah,
so folks who might have come here illegally over the descendants of slaves. That was the last part, guys. I appreciate both of y'all's service. Oz, good to hear your voice, brother. Rotman, good to hear your voice, too. And
thank you for calling in, and those were good questions.
Because that economic activity is not something that showed up on.
Hello?
That thing has been swelling for more than 25 years. I'm 33.
All right, Shay. We're going to try to tackle your questions. Very good questions. I'm gonna take one of the first parts, Rockman. When he's talking about more development and prices going up and things like that. As Newark becomes more prosperous, as more companies and people start locating in Newark, of course there's going to be some increase in the values of property there, which means that the price go up. So if you are an owner of property, your property should go up too, especially if you're near the center of the city. But at the end of the day, the mayor is doing everything he can to protect Newark citizens with the inclusionary zone. 20% of all these new developments is going to be for modest to moderate income people, and so it can be affordable. And a lot of persons said, what's affordable? I said, if a person can't pay $900 for a two-bedroom luxury apartment, then they don't need to be there. Simple as that. And though the mayor is doing his part, he's doing his part to secure these, opportunities for Newarkers, indigenous population, to take advantage of these opportunities, especially those who are non-affluent. We, too, as citizens of Newark and as people who have children in Newark and the next generation coming up, we have to prepare them to be able to afford this standard of living by getting educated and by getting themselves in a position to take advantage of it.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you said that. You hit it right on the note. I think – I'm telling you right now, brother, I think it is insulting how we complain about what others think about Newarkers. But what we think about Newarkers is more insulting than what an outsider think of us. Because what we say automatically is that we will never be able to afford to live in any of that development downtown. So let's tackle the brother's question, right? So he said a lot of this development started up under. There was some development that started up under Sharp James Eric. But let's talk about some of those developments because they talk about affordable housing. She always said, I built 20,000 affordable houses. It's funny how she take credit as a councilwoman for stuff like that, but she don't take credit for the stuff that's wrong today as a councilperson. But anyway,
right.
Let's talk about that. There were many houses built in the Sharp James era. These three-family houses, Shay should know what I'm talking about, that's in the South Ward, the Central Ward, the North Ward, the West Ward. Ask them how much those rents are today. Ask them how much those rents are today. So they talk about affordable housing, right? All those houses that were built during the James administration, those three-family houses that Rose has built, that whatever Realty in East Ward built, all those homes that was built in the North, West, South, Central Ward, ask anybody, or you just go to Zillow and find out for yourself. Put in rent and check what the rent on those houses. We like to talk about affordable housing, right? None of those houses are affordable. Their rents are $1,800, $1,900, $2,000 for those houses within those wards. These are the developments that were built during that administration. These were the these are the houses that were built during that administration inside the ward. Those rents in that in those houses range anywhere from 1600 and up, Osmond. 1600 and up. So when I hear people say downtown rent is for such and such bedroom apartment for a two bedroom $900 in the Haynes building, it's, and you can't afford it. Therefore, 1600 in these three and two family houses that people built in the South Central, West, North, and East wards in the city of North. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about that. But let's talk about the other problem. We talk about development. So, yes, of course development started under Sharp James. And guess what? When Corey became mayor, he and brought in other development into the city. And now that Raz is the mayor, he's bringing other development to the city. I just said to you that Gail Tatefield Jenkins voted to allow for buildings in the city ward on the waterfront to go as high as 40 stories.
Right.
40 stories. You know what
I'm saying? On the waterfront.
Who do you think on the waterfront? So who do you think are going to live in those buildings? So
which is actually going to be more expensive than the other buildings, Rockman, because it's on the waterfront.
Exactly. Right.
Come on, affordable. You better have some cash to get in those.
Right. And if any of those buildings get built, Oz, 20% of that has to be low income residents. Has to go to low income residents. Has to go to the
right.
So when I hear people, I'm like you, Osmond. When I hear people say to me that Norcas ain't going, who they building them for? They not building them for Norcas. Who said an indigenous, this is their new term, who says an indigenous Norca won't one day be able to afford to live in those buildings? Who said that?
Right.
You? To me,
exactly.
That's insulting. It's insulting, Osmond,
yeah.
Because it's saying that we have to continuously live in the conditions that we live in. We're trying to
exactly.
rise those boats. We're trying to, like you said, make sure that people be able to afford that. We don't just want them to get the 20% ones. We want them to be able to afford the market rate ones. But like you
exactly.
said, you have to prepare yourself for that. You have to go to school. You have to get secondary education. If it's not college, then it should be a trade. Listen,
right
now, if you got a CDL license and you drove a tractor trailer, you would be making six figures. If you became a carpenter, a plumber, electrician, any one of these skilled trades, you would be making six figures. You would be able to afford to live that. Who's saying you can't afford to live there? Who's saying that? What we saying is, come get the resources. Come get the education, the training, so that you will be able to afford to move in there.
Right.
Not
and the thing is this: even the mayor says, you know, he can do so much. We got to step up to the plate, man. We have to step up to the plate, put ourselves in a position so that we can be a part of the progressive Newark and the prosperous Newark that is on its way. And the fact is, you know, we always, especially the radical ones with the big mouths, you know, we're equal to white folks and we this to white folks and blah, 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 blah. And when King Tut and this, that, and the other, and our African civilizations. But yet, when it comes down to luxury buildings and it's going to take qualified people that's going to be able to afford it with good careers, now all of a sudden we're not equal to the white man. We need,
exactly.
you know, we want to depend on everybody giving us shit instead of getting ourselves
exactly.
ready. For prime time, that's what it is. The mayor is securing 20%, but that means still there's 80% left for market rate. We have to get off our asses and get to work. And the other thing is two income households is more resources. So we got to change our stuff culturally.
Yeah.
I mean, because the people living in those buildings are going to be affluent couples, married couples, or guys who are professionals making a lot of money. And we have to put ourselves in that position. Progress should not be held up because you have a lot of poor people in a particular town. The bottom line is, what do we want or what do we expect? Generation after generation to be on Section 8, generation after generation to be poor, generation after generation to be single-head households. What the hell do we expect?
Yeah.
We have to get prepared. And you got enough time because the mayor is telling you, you see it happening. If you're going to sit on your ass and wait back, then you deserve to be gentrified out.
Yeah, I'm telling you, brother. I the other question as far as he's talking about seniors and neighborhood services, first of all, they should expect that the city be clean and services provided just the way we try to provide the service today. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm going to say it again. you can go into any urban city and see parts of it that's not being kept. But guess what? A big part of that is because you just don't have enough men to go around picking up after people with throwing, that's using the city as a trash can, Ozma. At
right.
some point, the residents have to put their garbage in the trash. You can't throw
exactly.
it on the ground. You have to
exactly.
pick it up. You have to clean in front of it. When I was a kid, my mother made us, when we lived in the we lived in a housing authority. We lived in a townhouse. We had a gate. The gate went from it was a run around the corner to the other part of our house. The maintenance man was responsible for cleaning the townhouse, the outside. But guess what? My mother made us every single day. We had to clean up around our house, Ozma. We couldn't
right.
just let trash just blow up on the gate, blow up in front of the house, and not sweep up and pick that up. We had to clean all around our house. That's what my mother made us do. And so we
right.
have to turn around and get back to that. We have to go out and they want you to mow the lawns, the front lawns, clean up people's debris that they put out, pick up the garbage that people throw out, pick up all the bug that's on, clean all these empty vacant lots, which we have over 2,000 of them. I mean, at some point, people have to understand that you know how much of a manpower you would need to be able to do all that effectively. So, yes,
right.
we have to ask the residents of the city, please, you have to clean up after yourself. You have to help us. So, listen,
right.
they should expect the city to be clean. And we're trying to keep the city clean as best as possible. But we need help, and we need help from the residents. We cannot continuously use the city of Newark as our personal garbage can. That as soon as we
right.
eat something, we throw it on the ground. If we ride by
yeah,
the car,
yeah.
we throw it out the window. We just can't keep doing that.
And the mayor or anybody else or no public safety, public health department or sanitation department or whoever the hell you got there, nobody's going to be able to keep up thousands of people every day dropping potato chip bags and beer bottles and soda cans and lunch packages, McDonald's fries boxes. Nobody can keep up with that. So until the community start taking pride in where they live, excuse me, taking pride in where they live and putting that shit in the garbage as opposed to on the ground, then it's never going to change. You know, what's going to happen? You want the mayor to vacuum your rug next? I mean, come on, people.
Yeah.
I mean, people got to take care of their own community, man.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do, brother. And when it comes down to what he's saying, the sanctuary city, first of all, the city doesn't give anything. When they say sanctuary city, all they mean is that we're not going to turn these folks into ICE agents and the federal agents that come low because we want to make sure that they don't stay in the shadows. So when he say what the city is giving away, well, the city's not giving away anything. I don't understand what he's saying. We just saying, listen, when you come into the city, we don't want you to go hide under the shadows. We want you to be able, if the police come into your community, we want you to be able to talk to the police without fear of being deported. You know what I'm saying? If you go out here and work, we want you to understand we're not going to turn you in if you go find a job and work. That's what sanctuary cities do. There's no
shit. I think what he was trying to say is them coming in illegally, getting into the schools, that's $20-some thousand or whatever it is per pupil that's allocated to somebody illegal, taking resources from African Americans and Latinos that are here legally. I think he's also saying that, you know, other different programs to accommodate the fact, depending on what part of the country and the English level is, that's going to be more resources to teach them English and stuff like that. So what he's saying is he's upset that Newark is becoming a sanctuary city, allowing people to get all of these public services from taxpayers that's been here for forever, that's taken away from his kids and other people's kids who are here legally and doing the right thing and doing what they're supposed to do. I think that's what he was trying to say.
Right, but what I'm trying to say to you is that the city of Newark when you declare to be a sanctuary city, that's not what you're saying. When you say you're in a sanctuary city, what you're saying is you don't want people to live in the shadows. You can go
right.
to any city. A person can immigrate into this country illegally and go to any city in America and utilize the services you just said. Any city, right. You don't have to be declared sanctuary city. When you bring a child here, when you have human beings here, if you get hurt, you're going to be taken care of. If you have a child, the child going to go to school. You know what I'm saying? If you have programs, the kids, they're going to use social programs. You can go to any school. You can go any place in America. You don't have to declare to be a sanctuary city for that. When you say you're a sanctuary city, what you're saying is we don't want these individuals to live in hiding. We don't want them to be afraid. We want to, if they're here and government has to provide the services, then great, but do not be underground. We need to know that you exist, that you're here. That's what a bill
right.
being a
so they can report crime and stuff like that.
Exactly. And we're not going to cooperate with the federal government and turning you in. So we're not, if you turn around here and a police officer comes to your house and question you about a crime that happened to your house and they find out that you're not illegal, we're not researching if you're not illegal or we're not turning you into ICE or anybody else. That's what a sanctuary city. But like I said, you can go into any city of America, any city of America, and utilize the services that you just detailed. That has nothing to do with being a sanctuary city.
All right, Rahman. We have another caller. I don't know if they're listening or they just want to say something, but I'll find out. 973-391. Do you have a question?
Yes, hello. I guess it's a question. Actually, it's a thank you. This is Farrakhan Oz. And,
hey, how's it going, Farrakhan?
It's my first time being able to catch the show. Rahman, thank you for what you just said a moment ago. About people are going to have to start getting more money. You know, we can't keep talking about keeping the city poor. It's like the narrative that we have to have. I mean, I understand that we need a certain level of low income and so forth. But in the end, we have to design the city to get more money. Forget about keeping rents low. I want rents to be skyrocketing high because I want people's incomes to be skyrocketing high and the owners of the property to be able to charge skyrocketing high rents. That's what you want. That's growth. Who wants for people to sit in the city and say, well, I'm broke. I'm not going to figure out how to get unbroke because somebody's showing me I can live a good life and not have anything in order to have it. That drives me crazy. I made my decision on who I was going to vote for on this go-around mainly because I the narrative I heard from both, but particularly from the Cheney Phillip, Oz, you said something that was crazy because I actually got a chance to ask Mrs. Jenkins the question, what is the responsibility of government versus people's own responsibility? And part of the response was, when speaking about people from low-income housing or from the project, she was saying that, you know, people in the projects aren't used to buying their own lights, like for their house, like, you know, there's certain lights that their housing changes, right? And so when they move to a place that's a privately owned, that they're calling up the landlord talking about, hey, you're going to replace this light bulb that just blew in my kitchen. Like, no. Everybody knows that there's an island shop, right, where they sell light bulbs. They don't sell those lights up there for sport, okay? You got to know these things. And I don't care. If you're old enough to sign a lease, then you're old enough to understand that, you know?
Yeah,
and if you're not,
just
then
I've never called anybody for a light bulb, man. Just that whole mentality, man.
There are
man.
People that do, brother. I know people mm-hmm. that do. They call for a light bulb. I mean, this is no lie. I'm down New Community, and I'm looking at two sets of garbage dumps. Right, there's one, you know, there's no people that do the garbage and stuff over the weekends. So I'm down there, it's the weekend. The first one that's closest to the building, it's overflowing trash everywhere, right? Like trash is on the thing and then on the ground. But just 30 feet away, there are three empty dumpsters.
Right.
The people would rather just drop it in the overloaded one and then let it hit the ground than walk
okay,
30 feet.
Okay,
I'm not even exaggerating.
I got to go, brother. We're out of time, man.
Okay.
But we're going to do this again, my brother. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, Farrakhan.
All right, Rahman. Thank you, brother, for being a guest. You're the man. I think this was a very good show. I look forward to May 8th. Victory is coming, brother.
All right, brother. See you, man. Take care.
Take care now. See you guys Saturday at the Moments Concert for Mayor Baraka. This was Raw Talk, baby.